Good evening and welcome to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. And for those who are listening in for the first time, my name is Sonia Jewell and I'm a natural therapeutic specialist and massage therapist at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center right here in Ely. I have been a health practitioner for 19 years, and it is my pleasure to be with you every Wednesday evening during this hour to talk about various health topics, nutrition, and safe and natural alternatives, as well as healthier lifestyle choices. I welcome your input and feedback about this show and encourage you to contact me personally or the radio station should you have any specific questions, comments, or suggestions regarding the show. Now, most modern diseases and conditions have one thing in common. They are predominantly the result of our diet and lifestyle. High blood pressure or hypertension is certainly no exception to that rule. It affects more than 1 in 4 Americans. High blood pressure can be prevented and corrected with diet and by taking simple measures and without drugs, and we'll explore all the different options today. First of all, we have to realize, and I think a lot of doctors are forgetting, that hypertension isn't actually a disease in itself. It's only a symptom of some other malfunction in your body. Blood pressure is the force exerted against your arterial walls as blood is being pumped through your circulatory system. A normal blood pressure reading today is about 120 over 80 millimeters of mercury. The higher systolic number on top measures the pressure when your heart is contracting to force blood out. It is the pressure experienced when arterial walls are stretched. And the lower diastolic number measures the pressure when your heart is at rest. It shows the pressure between our heartbeats. However, a person should not rely on just one blood pressure measurement taken at your doctor's office. As we know, anything that makes us nervous, including having your blood pressure taken by a doctor, will temporarily push your blood pressure up. Insist that your blood pressure be measured a few times over a 24-hour period to get a much more accurate picture. It is also interesting to note that 25 to 30 years ago, doctors were taught in medical school that normal blood pressure was the patient's age plus 100 over 90. So in other words, if you were 50 years old, a blood pressure reading of 150 over 90 was considered completely normal. This guideline reflects the physiological fact that the systolic blood pressure, just like the cholesterol levels, gradually rise with age. And as the blood vessels narrow and become more rigid, more pressure is required to move the blood through the arteries and veins. In general, the diastolic pressure rises until age 55 and then gradually declines. It is important to emphasize that blood pressures are very variable and that emotional stress and numerous other factors such as smoking, coffee, drugs, even a cold room or a full bladder, and even improper cuff size can all give false high readings. Measurements should be taken with the arm supported at the level of the heart and not until the patient has been sitting for at least 5 minutes. If high blood pressure is found on the first reading, the person should lie down and relax in a quiet room for about 15 minutes before a second reading is taken. Invariably, this second reading is lower and often normal. As I already mentioned earlier, blood pressure levels rise naturally and gradually with age. They may also go up under momentary stress, including the stress of having your blood pressure taken. Only when readings repeatedly give blood pressure numbers greater than the person's age plus 100 over 90 should the patient be diagnosed as hypertensive. And every effort should be made to rule out known causes of hypertension, such as hardening of the arteries, sleep apnea, obesity, pregnancy, and other medications. And now let's take a short break with some music. Today's feature CD is by an Australian composer, and his name is John Mills, and the CD is titled Hallowed Moon. And we will continue with this topic in a moment. And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Today's topic is high blood pressure, and we will talk about possible causes as well as natural alternatives for treatment. Now, what increases blood pressure? Think of your heart as a pump and your arteries as pipes. And your arteries are surrounded by muscle cells that either can cause them to constrict or relax. They may also become narrower due to deposits on the artery walls and inflammation. Tense arterial muscles or clogged up arteries are the two main causes for high blood pressure. So what is it that makes arterial muscle cells tense? It has to do with the balance of minerals inside and outside the cells. There are two pairs of minerals that move between the cells' interior and exterior walls. There's a sodium-potassium pairing and a calcium-magnesium pairing. And the more sodium and the less potassium inside your cells, the higher the tension, which raises your blood pressure. Similarly, the more calcium and the less magnesium inside your cells, the higher your blood pressure. So you can instantly control your blood pressure either by decreasing your sodium intake, which means especially eating less refined or commercial salt. Especially avoid canned soups, processed meats, and most processed foods in general, because they contain a lot of commercial salt and have usually high sodium content. And a person has to increase potassium, which means eating more vegetables. Or by boosting your magnesium intake, which means eating more seeds and nuts and green vegetables. So the natural alternative is to eat more vegetables and fruits, high in both potassium and magnesium, and eat more nuts and seeds high in magnesium. And definitely switch to unrefined salt. Avoid commercial salt and use a high-quality sea salt or Celtic sea salt that contains a lot of trace minerals. That is usually the first step a person should take dealing with high blood pressure. Now, the usual conventional treatment for high blood pressure restricts the patient to a low-salt and low-fat diet. Such a regimen may produce initial good results, but this has nothing to do with the reduction of salt and fats, because to achieve a low-salt, low-fat diet, it is necessary to avoid most processed foods. If a diet without salt is followed for any length of time, the person will actually become weak, as salt is essential for digestion. And the right kind of fats, as you know, are absolutely essential for good health. I do not restrict my hypertensive clients from salt. Rather, I suggest that they avoid all processed salt and use Celtic sea salt in liberal amounts. Celtic sea salt provides plentiful amounts of magnesium, which helps reduce high blood pressure. In addition, mineral-rich bone broth used in soups and stews and sauces will help with hypertensive conditions as well. Also, hypertensive patients should avoid consuming too much water, which can increase blood volume and edema, which is water retention. And this person should consume liquids in the form of lacto-fermented beverages such as kombucha tea or homemade ginger ale, etc., because lacto-fermented beverages hydrate the cells without upsetting the body's homeostasis. And these beverages are also a good source of easily assimilated minerals. There's a wonderful book called Nourishing Traditions, which we have available at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center. And this book has wonderful recipes for lacto-fermented beverages that can be easily prepared at home. Another reason for high blood pressure could be a deficiency of CoQ10, which impairs the ability of the heart to pump blood properly and leads to compensation with higher diastolic reading. Now, CoQ10 is an antioxidant that helps your heart and all muscle cells work more efficiently. And although your body can make CoQ10, levels of this enzyme begin to gradually decline after the age of 40. And in fact, production falls off drastically in your 80s. It is hard to get enough CoQ10 from food alone. The only foods that contain CoQ10 in natural form are sardines and beef heart, etc. So supplements are a good way to go. And we have an excellent whole food source supplement available at Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center that contains CoQ10 in food form, as well as other substances that help support your heart, such as vitamin C, which is another antioxidant that can lower high blood pressure and reduce the risk of heart attacks, and vitamin B. And this product has all the components that are necessary for a healthy heart and normal blood pressure in one pill, and it is called Cardio Plus. Now, before I continue, let's take another short break with more music from today's feature CD by an Australian composer, John Mills, and the CD is titled Hallowed Moon. And I'll be back shortly with more information for you. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. We have been talking about high blood pressure. If you do have high blood pressure, I strongly recommend that you ask your doctor to check your homocysteine level. Your body only makes high levels of homocysteine if you are not getting enough B vitamins, zinc, and magnesium. Homocysteine is a byproduct of the metabolism of an amino acid found in protein. And the body uses only small amounts of homocysteine. In large quantities, it is toxic. And studies have shown that an elevated blood level of homocysteine is a highly predictable risk factor for heart disease. Homocysteine injures and irritates the arteries, which contributes to plaque buildup. It also causes the blood to thicken and helps oxidize cholesterol. The body requires adequate amounts of folic acid and B vitamins to help convert homocysteine into harmless amino acids. Now, with spring here, I would like to mention one very important food that can be consumed to lower homocysteine levels naturally, and that's asparagus. And these wonderful green stalks of the lily family contain the most folate of any vegetable. And folate helps the body rid of homocysteine associated with cardiovascular disease. Additionally, the stalks are full of vitamins and minerals as well as antioxidants. In fact, I chose asparagus as the food of the week, so I will talk in great detail about the many health benefits toward the end of the show. Now, inflammation has also emerged as a significant risk factor for heart disease. Elevated levels of inflammatory compounds such as C-reactive protein and fibrinogen are probably the most important markers of heart disease. If you have high blood pressure or are concerned about heart health, ask your doctor for a high-sensitivity CRP test. Another factor for high blood pressure could be due to increased blood viscosity. And according to this theory, elevated blood pressure is an adaptive response to an elevation in blood viscosity, where the blood cells basically tend to clump together, impairing circulation in the tiny capillaries. Now, a common cause of increased viscosity is stress. Sugar consumption can also increase blood viscosity. Now, smokers and those suffering from sleep apnea often have increased viscosity and frequently suffer from hypertension. But we know that diet and exercise are important factors for good heart health, and we will also talk about some herbal remedies like garlic, hawthorn, also the importance of omega-3 fatty acids, cod liver oil, and flaxseed that greatly can improve this condition. Well, it's time for another break with some music from today's feature CD, and when I come back, we will talk about lifestyle changes a person can make in order to improve or reverse this condition. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. I talked about some of the more common causes for high blood pressure, because high blood pressure is a symptom of some other malfunction in your body, and it is important to actually find the root or cause of the problem first. There are various reasons or causes for high blood pressure, like I already mentioned, and not everybody has high blood pressure for the same reason. There are many natural and herbal remedies that can greatly improve as well as prevent high blood pressure in the first place. Some lifestyle changes that greatly benefit the person are exercise and a diet high in fiber, cold water fish, lots of vegetables, fruits, and nuts high in potassium and magnesium, as well as omega-3 fatty acids. And all these things can do a great deal to lower your blood pressure. Smoking can also be a big contributor to hypertension or cardiovascular disease. And exercise is very important because it lowers stress hormones, it also releases body tension, and reduces sodium levels through sweat. It also helps reduce and maintain weight. Even a few extra pounds can have a profound effect on blood pressure. Deep breathing exercises have been found to greatly help people to normalize blood pressure. I do have a free information sheet on deep breathing available at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center if anybody's interested. A person can also eat more garlic, onions, and celery. For example, 4 stalks, which equals about 1 cup chopped celery every day, can lower blood pressure by 13% and cholesterol levels by 7%. Celery contains a compound that relaxes the muscles that line blood vessels. If you have high blood pressure, eat 4 to 5 stalks of celery a day for a week and observe the effects. But don't overdo it. Celery also contains sodium, which can raise blood pressure in those with salt-sensitive hypertension. Garlic has been shown to lower blood pressure. So if a person does not like the taste of garlic, there are excellent supplements available. But the most important thing is to limit refined foods and focus on whole organic foods. And this helps lower the intake of all kinds of added sugars, trans fatty acids, and raises your intake of fiber and valuable nutrients. So eat a low-sugar diet with sweets coming only from natural fruits, nuts, and grains. Also, minimize your intake of caffeine. Long-term consumption of caffeine could have a direct effect on elevated blood pressure and may negatively affect your adrenal glands as well. Excessive alcohol consumption can induce high blood pressure. A person should use a common sense approach first before opting for long-term prescription drugs. Drugs will simply control the numbers and not very reliably at that at all. Roughly 1 out of 3 people on them still have high blood pressure. And since drugs don't correct the cause, they can't eliminate all your disease risks. It's like the old remove the batteries from the smoke detector but don't put out the fire approach. There's also a wonderful book written by 2 physicians, Dr. Michael and Dr. Mary Edis, and it's called Protein Power. And in this book, they discuss the fast way to get high blood pressure down. They were on the forefront to recognize that high insulin levels from the typical high-carbohydrate American diet was the key cause of high blood pressure. The high-protein, low-carbohydrate diet they recommend is so effective. If you're one of the more than half of Americans consuming the standard American diet with high insulin levels and high blood pressure, you may want to take the first step and kick the carbohydrate habit. You will be glad you did. Besides dropping your blood pressure quickly, having your doctor wean or toss your prescriptions will make you a new person. And there are also a lot of other great positive side effects, like losing weight, lowering insulin levels, triglycerides, and LDL cholesterol, and increasing stamina, endurance, strength, and tone, and you really will feel like a new person. Some cases of high insulin-induced hypertension will resolve with diet change alone. These are usually people who are overweight and out of shape. They usually consume loads of refined carbohydrates in the form of junk food, rice, cereals, potatoes, bread, cakes, pies, cookies, crackers, and the like. And they have blood fat levels out of the norm. And the only way to resolve this problem is with the right diet. And now it's time for another short break with music from today's feature CD. And when I come back, we will continue with today's topic.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. We have been talking about hypertension or high blood pressure and important dietary guidelines a person needs to follow in order to reverse or prevent this condition. I also want to mention that the strategy with any disease of the heart is to slowly increase the percentage of healthy fats in your diet. And most importantly, eat regularly fermented or bitter foods such as sauerkraut and bitter green vegetables to help you digest and absorb the fats. The fats you eat should be largely animal fats, along with some olive oil, coconut oil, palm oil, and flaxseed oil. Although the public rarely hears about them, many studies have implicated polyunsaturated vegetable oils and not animal fats as a major cause of heart disease. In 1900, when heart attacks were unknown, the American diet was rich in saturated fat and cholesterol from butter, cream, lard, whole milk, cheese, and meat. Today, most of our fat calories come from vegetable oils, which is a direct result of today's orthodox dietary advice. Modern commercial vegetable oils create imbalances at the cellular level that can lead to clots. And partially hydrogenated vegetable oils, which are called the trans fatty acids, seem to disrupt the development of the cell membrane, making the cells stiffer and more inflexible, leading eventually to hardening of the blood vessels in the less efficient heart. Trans fats also reduce the amount of energy available to the heart. Furthermore, modern processing removes many important fat-soluble vitamins from our diet. Vitamin E is a natural antioxidant. It protects against the clots and inflammation of the blood vessels. Vitamin E is destroyed or removed during the high-temperature processing of vegetable oils as well as in the refinement of our grains. Now, the food industry is aware that its processing methods destroy vitamin content, and its response has been to add synthetic vitamins to our foods. Now, we already talked about the adverse and dangerous effects of synthetic vitamins posed to our health. And the diet for heart disease should eliminate all processed foods containing sugar, white flour, additives, rancid vegetable oils, and especially trans fatty acids from partially hydrogenated vegetable oils. It should be rich in fat-soluble vitamins from grass-fed butter and cream, and seafood, lard, and liver from grass-fed animals. And liver is especially important because it supplies B12, recently shown to be important for cardiovascular function. And it is the best source of dietary copper, which is a mineral that is vital for proper function of the artery lining. Now, bone broth for calcium and leafy greens for magnesium should be included, as these two minerals are also vital for cardiovascular health. Coconut oil supplies lauric acid, which has strong antimicrobial properties to fight viruses and other pathogens that can irritate the arteries. Supplements should also include cod liver oil to supply enough vitamin A and D. And vitamin D is needed for the absorption of calcium and magnesium, and the special fatty acids it contains have been shown in many studies to decrease clot formation. If the dietary changes do not succeed in lowering the blood pressure to the normal range, then the kidneys and or liver can be treated directly. The kidneys and the adrenal glands produce two hormones that affect blood pressure levels. And the first is angiotensin, a chemical in our bodies that determines the tone of our blood vessels and therefore our blood pressure. The second one, aldosterone, is a hormone that determines salt and fluid balance. And these hormonal systems can be influenced by conventional drugs, such as diuretics or ACE inhibitors, which stands for angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors, that are commonly prescribed in conventional medicine to treat hypertension. In natural medicine, we have access to safe medicines that can influence the kidney function. And one is called Rena Food from Standard Process, which contains specific nutrients for the kidneys. Also, there is horsetail extract in herbal medicine, which has diuretic effects, but is much safer than pharmaceutical diuretics. And similarly, there are safe and natural options for boosting liver function, should this be the underlying cause for hypertension. I also want to mention that there is also emotional hypertension. And in this case, exercise, deep breathing, and programs to address anxiety, like for instance massage therapy, will help resolve this problem. As we can see, high blood pressure is really only a symptom of some other malfunction in the body. It makes perfect sense to treat high blood pressure by addressing the causes of the conditions I just mentioned, and resorting to blood pressure-lowering drugs only when these measures fail to bring down blood pressure that is dangerously high. Nobody should be on any type of prescription drug long-term, because if you are, you give the drug time to express all its toxic effects in your body. However, do not stop taking a prescription medication on your own. Do it only under the supervision of your physician. I also want to mention one more great herbal supplement for cardiovascular health in general, and that is hawthorn, which has been shown to improve virtually all conditions of the heart and circulation. So here are some natural alternatives to treat as well as prevent high blood pressure. Now let's take a short break with more music, and when I come back, I will talk briefly about salt and the modern processing method. And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. We talked about natural alternatives for high blood pressure or hypertension. And earlier I mentioned the importance of switching from refined table salt to a good quality Celtic sea salt that contains important trace minerals that actually help lower high blood pressure. Now, few people realize that our salt, like our sugar, flour, and vegetable oils, is highly refined. It is the product of a chemical and high-temperature process that removes all the valuable magnesium salts, as well as trace minerals naturally occurring in the sea. To keep salt dry, salt refiners alter this pure product with several harmful additives, including aluminum compounds. And to replace the natural iodine salts that are removed during the process, potassium iodide is added in amounts that can be toxic. Now, to stabilize this compound, dextrose is added, which turns the product a purplish color. And then, of course, a bleaching agent is necessary to restore the white color. And this is our commercial table salt. Now, on the other hand, sun-dried sea salt contains traces of marine life that provide organic forms of iodine. Some researchers find that this form of iodine remains in the bodily fluids for many weeks, whereas the iodine released from iodide salt passes through very quickly. The best and most healthy salt is extracted by the action of the sun on seawater in clay-lined vats, and its light gray color indicates a high amount of trace minerals and moisture. The best and purest commercially available source of unrefined sea salt is the natural salt marshes of Brittany, where it is farmed according to ancient methods. Now let's talk briefly about iodine. Although iodine is needed only in small amounts, iodine is essential for numerous biochemical processes such as fat metabolism, thyroid function, and the production of sex hormones. Muscle cramps are a sign of deficiency, as are cold hands and feet, proneness to weight gain, poor memory, constipation, depression, and headaches. It seems to be essential for mental development. Iodine deficiency has been linked to mental retardation, coronary heart disease, susceptibility to polio and breast cancer. Now, sources include most seafoods, Celtic sea salt, kelp, and other seaweeds, fish broth, butter, pineapple, artichokes, asparagus, and dark green vegetables. Certain vegetables such as cabbage and spinach can block iodine absorption when eaten raw or unfermented. Requirements for iodine vary greatly. In general, those whose ancestors came from seacoast areas require more iodine than those whose ancestors came from inland regions. Proper iodine utilization requires also sufficient levels of vitamin A supplied by animal fats. In excess, of course, iodine can be toxic. Consumption of high amounts of inorganic iodine, as in the form of iodized salt or iodine-fortified breads, as well as organic iodine such as kelp, can cause thyroid problems similar to those of iodine deficiency, including goiter. Broth, made from meat and animal bones, is another good source of sodium chloride and iodine, as well as magnesium, potassium, and important trace minerals. Unfortunately, our hurried-up lifestyle has led to a decline in the use of meat and fish stocks. Salt provides not only sodium, but also chloride, which is needed for the production of hydrochloric acid, and also for the proper functioning of the brain and nervous system and for many other processes. Chloride also helps regulate the correct acid and alkaline balance in the blood and the passage of fluids across cell membranes. It is needed for the production of hydrochloric acid and therefore protein digestion. The chloride component of salt also activates amylases needed for the digestion of carbohydrates. Chloride is also essential for proper growth and functioning of the brain. The most important source of chloride is salt, as only traces are found in most other foods. lack the fermented beverages such as kombucha tea and ginger ale, homemade with all the unhealthy additives, and bone broth provide easily assimilated chloride. Other sources include celery and coconut. Now, the need for salt varies according to the individual. People with weak adrenal glands lose salt in the urine and must have plentiful salt in the diet. But for others, excessive salt consumption causes calcium to be excreted in the urine and may contribute to osteoporosis. Excessive salt in the diet also depletes potassium, and potassium and sodium work together. Inner cell fluids are high in potassium, while fluids outside the cell are high in sodium. Therefore, potassium is important for many chemical reactions within the cells. Potassium is helpful in treating high blood pressure. It is found in a variety of nuts, grains, and vegetables. Excessive use of salt, along with inadequate intake of fruits and vegetables, can result in a potassium deficiency. As far as sodium, all body fluids contain sodium, so it can be said that sodium is essential to life. It is needed for many biochemical processes, including water balance regulation, muscle contraction and expansion, nerve stimulation, and acid-alkaline balance. Sodium is very important to the proper function of the adrenal glands. Sodium deficiency symptoms include confusion, low blood sugar, weakness, and heart palpitations. Now, meat broth and zucchini are excellent sources. So this wraps up today's topic. I hope you find the information helpful. And now it's time to feature the food of the week, which, as I mentioned earlier, I chose to be asparagus. Asparagus is an Italian vegetable that dates from the Renaissance. Asparagus is a good source of rutin, which is a substance that prevents small blood vessels from breaking. Medieval medicine valued asparagus for the treatment of heart palpitations and as a diuretic. And these wonderful green stalks of the lily family contain the most folate of any vegetable. And folate helps the body rid of homocysteine, which is associated with cardiovascular disease. Additionally, the stalks are full of vitamin C, vitamin E, as well as antioxidants, potassium, and zinc. And as I mentioned earlier, asparagus is also a great source of iodine. Now, asparagus should be eaten as soon as possible after picking. It spoils very quickly, and if not refrigerated, it loses half its vitamin C and much of its flavor in just 2 or 3 days. In order to steam it, what you do is you trim off the tough ends and you rinse it well. And if the asparagus is of large diameter, you may want to cut off about 1 inch of green from the ends. And then you place the stalks in a vegetable steamer and steam them for about 5 minutes until the stalks turn bright green and can be easily pierced with a fork. But be careful not to overcook it. And then you top it with butter and squeeze a little bit of lemon juice on it. You can also bake it by tossing it in some olive oil or butter and putting it into a glass dish. And then what you do is you bake it for about 8 minutes in a 400-degree oven, but make sure to shake the dish every 2 minutes or so. And then you can sprinkle on some chopped shallots and sesame seeds and bake it for another minute or two. And then you finish the dish with a squeeze of lemon juice. So here are some suggestions as far as consuming asparagus. I hope this will inspire you to consume asparagus more often, especially this time of the year. Spring is when it is readily available. And so this concludes today's show, and I hope you find the information helpful and it will inspire you to pursue a healthier diet and lifestyle. And for a list of my services, please visit my website at elywellness.com. I also want to invite you to stop by the Whole Foods Pantry on the corner of 2nd Avenue and Chapman Street, which is stocked with organic and healthy food choices such as fresh organic fruits and vegetables, organic meats and dairy products, whole food supplements and concentrates, as well as environmentally friendly products. And if you happen to be in the Virginia area, make sure to visit the Natural Harvest Food Co-op. And I also invite you to join me again next Wednesday right here on WELY. Thanks again for listening, and be well.